I've been talking the last number of weeks about how the devil is opposing everything relative to God. And I've used 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to start us off. We'll go there again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It'll be a little bit of an old hat for most of you who've been here for the last month or so. But suffice it to say that this period of time that Paul's writing, there was a serious problem that existed there. And he addresses it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand." Now don't be troubled by this, he says. And chapter 2, now verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders," and on. So we're just going to hold up there. Basically, the Thessalonians were upset because somebody came in there and told them that they would go into the time of tribulation. So they were real disturbed, and Paul is laying out a time frame there. And we use the board to help us see these things. For instance, the ministry of Christ begins here, up to his death here, his burial, and then his resurrection. And I'm skipping stuff as we go along. That's not that important. But we go here, and we'll let this represent Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9 unto the rapture of the church. And in here is a dispensation of the grace of God. And so the church will go out. Here you have the tribulation and the return of the Lord here going into this 1,000-year kingdom that was prophesied out over here. That's kind of the breakup there. Well, what he's saying is that there's a man of sin that at midpoint is going to be revealed here, and that's the Antichrist. So somebody came and told this bunch here at Thessalonica that you're going to go into this time. And they were upset about it, and rightfully so. And so Paul says, no, we are here, and we are, in the context of those verses, referred to as he. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the man of sin be revealed in his time. In other words, his time won't come until he be taken out of the way, the body of Christ. And so it lays out the time frame there. But that doesn't change the fact of the problems going on. Because he says that even though we won't see his time because we're going to go out, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, Satan, who will be in the embodiment of this man, the Antichrist, is at work today. And one of the things he's opposing most of all is not Christmas, where we call it a holiday. That isn't his big beef. It's where he takes God's word and challenges it, alters it or challenges it. And that's what he's doing today. And so Paul had to get this straight with these people. Look over in 2 Timothy, and we'll see a couple of them at work. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll see these guys right at work. We'll start in verse 15. Now remember, folks, context. Think about the thought process as you read through this. Verse 15, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So if you don't want to be ashamed as a workman, what do you have to do? Rightly divide the word of truth. If you don't do that, you'll be ashamed. And he's referring to the judgment seat of Christ being ashamed that you didn't handle the word of God properly by rightly dividing it. So he addresses something that's going on where they're not rightly dividing it. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Mystery of iniquity, the word iniquity means ungodliness. So you have ungodliness working today, and it's contained in words, it's doctrine. And it says in verse 17, and their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. So he names who his two troublemakers are, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. And then he goes on about different things. But we want to hold to what we read there and connect the context of all this. In other words, rightly divide the word of truth. And he addresses two men there, Hymenaeus and Philetus, that have erred, saying the resurrection is past already. Well, folks, they're not referring to, obviously, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that is part of this gospel. What is that? Christ died for our sins, was buried, and what? Raised from the dead. That's already past. What they're talking about is the rapture where we go out, a resurrection of the saints. And so consequently, there's Hymenaeus and Philetus saying, hey guys, this thing's already happened. That's the problem at Thessalonica. So consequently, they think they're going into this time here. And when they saw they're going into the tribulation, their faith was made shipwrecked. You understand? Because you go into this time, you're facing serious, serious trouble. I mean, people talk tough and all, you know, like, oh, I take on the Antichrist. Oh, yeah? You going to take on the Antichrist? Huh. There are things that's going to take place here at this time that you don't want any part of. You don't want to go into that time. And these saints back then knew it. So when someone came and not rightly dividing the word of truth, told them that the resurrection was past already, they immediately knew the next thing's coming is this time here. So they're thinking, we're going into that time. And so he said, they overthrow the faith of some. So let's look at this time real quick. You have any idea of what's coming, folks, when we leave out of here? By us being here, this world's got it made. You think it's bad now? Take the body of Christ out and watch what happens. It's going to get really bad. Turn to Revelations. I don't delve into Revelation much because I don't know a whole lot about it, but it doesn't pertain to us. So, you know, you got to focus in on to those things that do pertain to us. But anyhow, suffice it to say, Revelations chapter 12. I want you to understand something. If you don't go out here, you're looking at two wraths. Two wraths. Now watch. In Revelation 12, there's going to be, let's see, is that what I want? No, that isn't what I want. I want Revelation 7, and then we'll go to 12. In Revelation 7, see, that's why I don't fool with it much. Revelation 7, there's 144,000 Jews that are going to be preaching at this time, and this is what's going to go on in verse 9. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and the elders and four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, blessed, blah, blah, blah. Look, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came there? And everybody says, well, that's got to be the church. Not everybody, but a lot of people do. Oh, that's got to be us. No, not quite. Hang on there. Verse 14 answers it for you. And I said unto him, "That sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of what? The body of Christ? The dispensation of grace. No. Where'd they come out of? Great tribulation. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Well, folks, I see that these people came out of great tribulation. And so consequently, had they come out of great tribulation? Now I want Revelation 12. In Revelation 12, verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, that's Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of who? Jesus Christ. Well, you're going to have those 144,000 there during his time, and he becomes very angry, and he starts a war with them. And guess what happens to them, folks? They get killed. Therefore, they come out of great tribulation. It's not the church, the body of Christ, that they see there. It's these saints that came out of great tribulation, losing their lives. So when you come along and tell somebody, oh, the resurrection is past already, they're looking at, they go into this time, and they either facing the wrath of the Antichrist by not taking the mark of the beast, or they've got another wrath waiting for them. But before we get to that, turn to Ezekiel. We want to see more than just this. Turn to Ezekiel and look in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord, verse 1, was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and sent me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Ezekiel 37, verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Lord God, thou knowest. And he said, prophesy upon these bones. And he said, and saying to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Saith the Lord God unto these bones. I'm just trying to read too fast, so I'm going to slow down. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord God. So what is he seeing there? He's seeing these bones come up. And all of a sudden, they're going to have sinew on them. They're going to have muscle on them. They're going to have skin on them. And God's going to breathe in them. And they're going to come alive. Well, who is this? He tells you in verse 11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are who? The whole house of Israel. Well, where are they coming from? Well, folks, you got a bunch of Old Testament saints back here that kept the faith and died in faith. So consequently, he's going to resurrect those saints over here, and they're going to put on these bodies to go into the kingdom that they were promised. And that's who these are in Ezekiel. Now, in Zechariah, look in Zechariah chapter 14. You can go home and read more of Ezekiel if all of a sudden your interest is perked up at that point. In Zechariah 14, verse 5. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azul. Yea, ye shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord, my God, shall come, and all the saints with thee. Well, where are those saints coming from? They're going to be resurrected, according to Ezekiel, and they're going to go down a highway to go into this kingdom. And as they do, watch what happens in Ezekiel chapter 8. Look in Ezekiel chapter 8. In Ezekiel 8, verse 22. Yea, many people. I'm sorry. That's why y'all not there. Zechariah. Y'all were right there. Just a couple chapters away. Now we'll have to wait. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Zechariah chapter 8. If I only had a brain, I'd be dangerous. Amen. Zechariah chapter 8. As they go marching in, as I said, the saints go marching in to that kingdom. Verse 22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. I mean, folks, they're going to pop up out the graves. They're going to get bodies put on them. They're going to go down the highway. They're going to march in. And as they do, people of the nations that believed in their God are going to take hold of the skirt of him that's a Jew, and they're going to walk right into that kingdom to go worship the Lord with those Jews. Make no mistake about that, folks. That's going to happen. But I want you to note something. Before that happens, it's found in Isaiah, and I got this one right. Isaiah chapter 13. Look in Isaiah 13. When the Lord returns, there won't be a lamb here. There was a lamb here that was slain. He comes back, he's a lion. He's a lion of Judah. In Isaiah 13, look in verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. In other words, he's coming with wrath. I said earlier, during this time, there are two wraths that appear. It's the anger and the wrath of the Antichrist that to whoever opposes him that time, he's going to kill. If you don't get through that, if you get through that, then the Lord returns in wrath, and he's coming to do some killing, some destroying. So consequently, there are two wraths there. So when someone comes along and says, the resurrection has passed already, you're looking at having absolutely no hope. Like I said earlier, people talk about how, I'll just fight the Antichrist. I'll fight. I'm like, what? You can't even muster yourself to come to church every Sunday, and you're going to fight the Antichrist? You're going to cower down. If he tells you to take the mark of the beast, you'll be first in line. You're going to save your soul. You better believe it. And if you save your soul, the Lord said you're going to lose it. Because if you take the mark of the beast, you have as much sealing unto the day of death as we have sealed unto the day of redemption. You are guaranteed to go to hell. You're guaranteed to burn and fry in hell by taking the mark of the beast. So when these people saw that the resurrection has passed already, they're going, all hope is now gone. We have no hope. They know what's coming. People today don't. They're ignorant of it. Even some believers are ignorant of it. They get saved and they just lollygag around. You know what they do? Y'all familiar with hide and go seek? You know, the game? That's what they're doing with the Lord. Play hide and go seek. They're saved, so they go hide. Lord, when you find me, then I'll let you win that game and I'll go hide again. And the Lord searches them and they just play in a game. And you only do it by the grace of God, you understand? Because let me tell you something. When we're out of here, it can't be that easy, it's gone, and the it's that hard comes into play. Matter of fact, it's so hard it's absolutely impossible. You say, well, why can't anybody get saved that comes out of this time period? Because God's going to give them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie, and it's right here. They're going to believe that that dude is the Christ, the Messiah. He's going to dupe the entire world, and whatever he tells you, you're going to do. You're going to be a part of this kingdom? You got to take my mark. Come on, folks. People talk about being a part of Jesus, and they get baptized for identification. They do it by the millions. You know, the Antichrist comes with all power, signs, and wonders, bringing miracles through the heavens. And he says, receive a mark in your hand or your forehead. They're going to do it. God's going to send them a strong delusion. So when somebody comes along like Hymenaeus and Philetus says, the resurrection is past, these people knew they had no hope. It's done. It's over. What are we going to do now? Folks, we're in the best time in the history of this world. Mankind has it absolutely made by the grace of God. All you have to do is believe and trust in the work that he did on the cross and not your own work. People today, I'm going to live for Jesus. Well, how are you going to live for him if you can't trust him? Well, I'm trusting him. No, you're not. You're connecting trust in what you're living, and that don't work that way. You see that you're no good. You see that you're doomed and damned to hell, and you need a Savior. Therefore, that's why you trust in him. That's why you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You don't live for him to get salvation. You live for him because you have salvation. They got the whole thing backwards. Who do you think is on that little game plan, huh? You think that's orchestrated by the God of heaven and earth? Saying, well, son, I know you died for them, but if I see them living for you, then I've got to save them. You think he's going to tell his son that? What do you think the son would think? Well, father, I mean, I did everything for you so you could save them by faith in me. I mean, you'd have disunity in the Godhead. Do you realize that? And that's what the devil's trying to do. And he does it by altering God's word. Just like these characters here. Oh, yeah, that thing that Paul preached. Well, we believe it, but you need to understand the resurrection that he talks about, it's already happened. I watched, and I rarely do this these days. I got up Saturday morning and watched about 2 hours of the God TV. I went anything from Word Network to TCP or whatever that thing is, and just scrolling through and watching these preachers. The last one I watched was the only one that read anything out of Paul's epistle. Oh, you just hit it on a bad day. Then every day is bad. There's something wrong, folks, when Paul encourages you to consider what I say and the Lord give thee understanding in all things, and you ain't got a preacher preaching on it. There's something wrong there. I mean, come on, man. You don't have to feel the fire if you smell the smoke, do you? There's something wrong. There's something going bad in this world. And the devil's behind it. Why? The mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's at work right now. Right as we're speaking, folks, it's at work across this nation and churches all around. I won't even tell you from this position what I saw one of them say. Does that tell you how bad it was? Now, for 1999, I'll tell you after church we can get together. I'm serious about that. I told Louise about it. I did that double, that cartoon thing. Like, what? Did I just hear her say that? Say no more. Folks, look, you want ointment on any pain going on? Look in 1 Thessalonians. Anybody been to the dentist lately? Anybody been to the doctor lately? Okay. All right, good. You had an appointment? Okay, good. This will help. Go to 1 Thessalonians. You had an appointment, so you went, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You there? I'm there. Did I say 1 Thessalonians? I'm in 1 Kings. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Put the helmet on. Verse 9. Watch this. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. In other words, folks, this is an appointment that we won't have to keep. God did not appoint anybody in the body of Christ to go in this time of wrath. Nobody. When that rapture takes place, everybody that's on the foundation will be taken up. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He's not going to leave anybody behind. When this thing takes place, folks, we're all gone out of here to go be with the Lord forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you very much. If you're not on board, I'd suggest you get on board right here, right now. Because this thing can happen at any given moment when we get caught up out of here. And if we're out of here, you're free to use this church. No charge to you. But you're going to have a dog of a time at that point in time. We go out of here, this world's in trouble. Big time trouble. You ever think about God's wrath in other times? What you think those people went through in Sodom and Gomorrah? Burned like bacon on a hot skillet. Just burned them. God opened the earth up and took 23,000 down in one gulp of the earth. Sent the waters in the days of Noah and covered the entire world. And none of those things compare to the wrath that's going to come upon this earth to mankind. Matter of fact, it's going to be so bad, he's not going to let you die. He's going to make you suffer through it. You understand? People going to wish they were dead and can't find it, the Bible says. That's a horrible situation. I'll just put a gun to my head and click. God won't let that gun go off. It's not going to happen, I'm telling you. He's going to keep you alive so you can have the sufferings that you so deserve. Your answer is to trust Jesus Christ right here and right now. Because even if this don't come for another 500 years, you're going to die. And guess what? You got a place that's worse than hell on earth. And that's hell itself. You realize hell was created for one thing and one thing only? That's for the devil and his angels. You understand that? That's what it was made for. Yet man rebelled, and so man's going to get the same punishment. And if you don't think God didn't have an attitude when he created hell for the devil and his angels, you better think again. That's a hot burning place, my friends. There ain't no, I'll just party with my friends down there. People stupid, you know that? There ain't no happy hour down there, people say. Oh, yeah, people in hell, they want ice water. No, they don't. They want out. They want out. You don't want to go to this place of torment. Say, well, if I just had somebody preach from there and let me know it exists, I'd believe it. It's in the Bible. The guy's shouting at you right now, saying, you don't want to come to this place of torment. So you, hey, man, you got a big time choice to make. Your back's against the wall. You know what David said to Jonathan? David said, there is but a step between me and death. There's but a step between me and death. You realize what a step is? There's no telling how many steps I've made up here. You're just talking about bumping. I'm dead. I'm gone. That's what he's saying. That's what separates you right now from eternity. So where are you going to spend eternity? Because you're a never dying soul. Where are you going to spend it? You going to spend it down here in the pit? Or are you going to spend it up there with the Lord and the saints in light? It will be happy eternity there. Only you know. Your heart as to whether you trusted in the Lord. I see a lot of you every Sunday. Hear your testimonies. That's all I can go by is your testimony. But you know within yourself whether you've trusted Jesus Christ. Have you trusted? Have you trusted? Say, well, what's involved in that? Recognizing that you have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. You're facing impending doom when you take but the step between me and death. When you take that step, there ain't no back row walking here. There ain't no Michael Jackson moves here. You ain't going back. It's all forward to eternity of suffering. So you have no choice but to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ or face the consequences of your rejection of Him. I can't put it any plainer, folks. If that don't stir your grits, there ain't nothing going to stir your grits. You understand? So trust in the Lord so that you can be saved. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.